But I count it always a blessing to be here at this church. And of course, I was here for the John Roman thing as well, because I'm not traveling quite as much as I used to. In fact, I'm helping pastors within a 300-mile radius is what I'm doing. So I'm working some with the church at Keensburg, new pastor, trying to build that work up, and then also helping the pastor there at Lafayette, Colorado, as well when I'm home. And the motorhome, I spent 6 weeks in California and Arizona, several weeks there, then headed out to the Midwest, where I had several meetings, and the starter stopped working. So I had to get into a Ford garage and get a new starter on there. And they took care of that, $500 and some. And then I got back on the road again to the Midwest, where I have scheduled meetings, and the motorhome began to jerk back and forth like this. And it's the fourth motorhome that I've had, and so on. So I called, what am I going to do? Well, you need to go to a garage and have it checked out. Maybe it's low on fluid. So I got to a Ford garage, because it's a V10 in that motorhome, and he put in two or three quarts, and that didn't help. So he said, you're going to have a new transmission. A new transmission. Here I am, way out east on the interstate, and I have road assistance. And so I called him and told him my problem. They said, we'll be there, and we'll tow the motorhome back to south of Greeley at Evans, because Camping World doesn't do that type of work at all. And so I waited and waited and waited and waited and waited and waited until 1 a.m. Finally, a tow truck came, hooked onto the motorhome, and towed me to the garage there at Evans that was going to do the job. I said to the man, I said, how long is it going to take? Because I've got meetings scheduled. Well, they said probably 8 or 10 days, one of the whole. They do not really repair them. They exchange them. So it took that long, and finally got it in, and finally got on my way to the Midwest and down to North Carolina and so on. And so everything is working. I said, everything? No. The slide does not work out, so I got this much room to walk. And the TVs do not work, and that's no problem. The leveling jacks do not work, so back to the garage and find, what's the problem if that slide doesn't go out? What's the problem with the TVs? What's the problem with the jacks not going down? And so they said, we'll be nice to you. We'll only charge you $135 an hour to find out the trouble. Well, they told me the trouble. They said the trouble is a mouse. There's a little mouse in there. And that little mouse has been doing damage. So that's where it is right now. I'm trying to locate, I guess, the mouse. And so on. So it's a lot of fun. It's a great, great experience. I've been traveling on the road for 20 some years, and it's the fourth motorhome that I've had, and so on. So it's interesting, and we rejoice. I wake up and look up. I say, Lord, why? And the Lord says, all things work together for good. I said, what do you mean, Lord? The Lord says, all things work together for good. The Bible says, rejoice always. giving thanks always. And so that's what I've been doing. I give thanks and just wait on Him. And God provides, and it's wonderful. And I'm glad to be here at this church and share with you a message from the Word of God. And I don't know whether we're on cable or what we are whatsoever, but if you have a Bible, turn in your Bible to the first book of the Bible. The first book of the Bible is the book of Genesis. Genesis, and I want you to notice the first words of the first chapter. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning. So Genesis is a book of beginnings. And it records the beginning of heaven, the beginning of the earth, the beginning of plant life, beginning of animal life, the beginning of human life. It has been called the seed plot of the Bible. The seed plot of the Bible, and I say that because it's a tremendous book that all the great doctrines that are found in the pages following are found in the book of Genesis. In the beginning, what a statement. That answers all the arguments of mankind. I mean, searching. And it's interesting, as you look at this chapter, we read, and God said, 10 times. And God saw, 7 times. And God called, 5 times. And God made, 6 times. And God created, 5 times. So the whole emphasis in this chapter is God. In the beginning, God. God. And that's the beginning. Now, it's really humorous in a sense. For instance, man, with all of their intelligence, are looking in the black hole in the north. There's a black hole up there. And they think that if they look in that black hole, they will be able to find how it all started and how it's developing in the black hole in the north. And it's interesting. I mean, the bang theory. I mean, all of a sudden, it's an explosion. It all came into being. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that thrilling? Isn't that thrilling? I saw on TV a while back, I saw what the news people said was a star in the formation. Now, if I would have been there, I would have said to that educated person, how do you know that? How do you know that that glob of nothing up there that's circling in the air is a star in formation? They do not know. They're assuming that people like us will accept what they say. Then they discovered, it was on the news, they discovered a rock from Mars. A rock. So that somebody was able to get a rock and bring it back. And so these intelligent people said, that rock is from Mars. Now, it all sounds good in our schools and universities, and our young people, of course, are believing it, and it's sad. But if you look at this chapter 1, the first day God created the heaven and the earth, billions and billions of stars, and it's magnificent. On the first day, God created light and darkness, verses 3 through 5. On the second day, he discovered heaven. On the third day, he discovered land and sea and the plant life. And on the fourth day, verses 14 through 19, the sun, moon, and the stars. And on the fifth day, animal life. And on the sixth day, man. Man. And it's interesting. What a beginning. Great, great beginning. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. And Hebrews 11 and verse 3 says, through faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now that's staggering, isn't it? And you can say amen once in a while. I sometimes start the session, which I didn't hear, how come men do all the amens? You don't hear a woman say amen very often, at least I don't. And the answer for that, why women do not say amen, is because in our churches we sing hymns. Now that'll sink in eventually. Now that's apart from this. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And it's magnificent, magnificent. And I'm thrilled by it. The beginning, where it was, when it was, I do not know. God simply says in the beginning, God got all that, a work of his hand. Isn't that thrilling? It's thrilling. Now listen, I look at another beginning. How about your beginning? You had a beginning. Every person has had a beginning. And in Genesis chapter 1, 26 and 27, we read this. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created him, he them. So we see the beginning of the universe, the beginning of what has taken place way out there and here, and then we come down to us. God created us. And it's really thrilling. It's thrilling as you look at the scripture. If you have your Bible and you'd like to turn to it, turn with me to Psalms 139. Psalms 139, and we read this. It's a great, great chapter, and I read there in beginning with verse number 14, Psalms 139, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knowest right well. Now think of that. The Bible says, I will praise, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. Now look at verse 15. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Now this is the word of God now. It has to make it a man. And the Bible says, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret. God was there. God was there. And it's thrilling to see a little baby. It's thrilling to see them. Now, how did it all start? How did it all start? It started when the necessary part from the man and the necessary part from the woman were united. And the result became a living soul. Had a beginning. Had a beginning. And it says, my substance. Isn't that interesting, the word of God? Nothing but substance. That's all it was when those two parts were united together. And the Bible says, in the darkness, and it's marvelously made. And my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Now look at verse 16. Thine eyes did see my substance. Now let me stop there. If you don't have this underlined, you ought to underline it. This is God's word. God says here in his word, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and carelessly wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Verse 16, thine eyes did see my substance, being yet unperfect, nothing but substance, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. When it was nothing but substance, God knew that out of that substance there would come and be fashioned that girl or that boy. Now, look at it. It says here, verse 16 again, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, when in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Nothing but substance. And verse number 17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Verse 19, surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. Your beginning, my beginning, was known by God when you and I were nothing but substance. God knew all about us. Now, I wonder how many people realize they argue about the beginning of creation. How many people realize that God was there when you started? God was there. God knew all about us. And so on. And it says, I'll praise thee, for I'm wonderfully and marvelously made. My substance. And I could give you other scripture concerning this. God knew the color of your eyes. God knew how tall you'd be. God knew all about you in the beginning. In the beginning, when you were nothing but substance. And it's thrilling. It's thrilling. I mean, the work of God and the Word of God. And how many people out there realize that God had a part in their beginning? Man can do about everything, but they can't create life. And I've got 5 children. I've got 14 grandkids. I got 30-some great-grandkids. And they're all different. They're all different. Because God was there. And you know, if people on the outside would stop and think about God, how's it going to come about? They cannot make in the laboratory over here in Boulder at the university. They cannot make life. They can make something that looks like it. Like a dear pastor friend that I know, and he's preached in this church. He's allergic. He's allergic to plants. Allergic. So he's up preaching, giving his message, and all of a sudden he starts sneezing. Starts singing. And he says to one of the deacons, would you get that plant out of here? Would you get that out of here? Because I'm allergic to them. And it's humorous because the deacon came forward and took the plant, but the plant was not real. It was artificial. but his mind thought it was real. Oh, listen. The creation of the universe, your beginning, God was there. But dear friend, I say this, every person needs a new beginning. That's performed by God. And people are trying their best. I talk to people that go to exercise, and I'm not against exercise. I talk with people that are stopping some of their bad habits. I talk to people, that are going to turn over a new leaf. They're going to be different. Now, why are they doing it? They're doing it because they want a new beginning. Now, dear friend, this morning, it's not possible. It's not possible. You can eat all that stuff if you want to. You cannot eat all that stuff if you want to. It's up to you. But we need a new beginning that's performed by God. The creation was a work of God. You sitting here this morning are a work of God. Oh, you can alter it a little bit. You can look into the mirror and make a few changes now and then. But listen, your beginning was with God. God was there when you were nothing but substance. And yet man says, I need a new beginning. And you turn on the television set and so on, and they advertise all the stuff that you can send and buy. It's going to make a difference. Well, it'll make a difference in your pocketbook. And it may help. It may help. But listen, the reason that everybody needs a new beginning where God is involved is because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death has passed upon all men. We're all sinners. Romans 3 and verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. Not one. Romans 6:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we need a new beginning. How's that possible? It's not possible with man doing all these things. That's not possible. It's only possible if God is involved. God was involved in creation. God was involved in you at your very start. And God wants to be involved now. Now, how is that going to be possible? We're sinners. We're sinners. We're not righteous. No, not one. And the Bible says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he so loved you, and he so loved me, that he gave his only begotten Son to come and live and die on the cross of Calvary so that I and you might have a new beginning. That's why God did it. God did it because he knew you couldn't do it on your own. It is not possible. And the Bible says in John 1 and verse 12 and 13, but as many as received him, to them gave he top power to become a son of God. Isn't that wonderful? Now that verse means a lot to me. Because when I was a boy, my dad saw a woman. And so he came home one day, and it was announced he was going to leave our home. So he walked out of our house, walked out. We found his car. We did not find him. We located the woman, but she was gone. He disappeared. Disappeared. No, not really. I've searched and searched as I've traveled all across the country to find my dad. And when an older gentleman walks into the service, I say, well, maybe that's my dad. Maybe that's how I am. But you see, he left my mom. He left his children because of sin. Because of sin. Oh, listen, dear friend. And it's so important that we understand the truth. God must be involved. A lady came to my door, and she's a census worker. I don't know if anybody has come around here at all or not, but she had a sign on her car that she was with the census department, and she was taking the census. And I said, that's great. I don't have anything to hide here. And she asked a lot of questions and so on. But I told this dear lady taking the census, I said, listen, what everybody needs is to be born again, to be saved. And it was especially interesting to her because I'm surrounded by the sanctuary. If you've ever been out there, just south of Keensburg, a man there has purchased 500 acres, and it's fenced. And he's got several hundred animals there. And recently, he's purchased 9,000 acres down near Springfield, Colorado, where he wants a place where the animals can be free. He doesn't think you ought to go and look at them. He said, when you look at an animal, it makes them nervous. So, if I walk along my fence when I'm home, or my grandkids come and walk along the fence, and so on, pretty soon, a door's going to open in his office, and a vehicle's going to swing around and come to my place, which it has, and a dear lady will get out of there with my grandson and say, we don't want you looking through the fence at these animals. We don't want you looking through them. And my grandson's real outspoken. And he said, listen, lady, do you realize that you're trespassing? That you're trespassing? But listen, I said to this dear lady, you can take the census. And it simply reminds us of the thousands and millions of people that God had the beginning. But they're lost. Because they need a new beginning. That's salvation. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's what the Lord is able to do. Isn't that wonderful? Now you can say amen once in a while. That's what God can do. That's what God can do. And I've preached a good number of rescue missions around the country. And I see individuals come forward, dirty, living on the street, and get on their knees. And be able to introduce them to the person that's able to make them anew, change them from the inside. And the man that got saved in L.A. Came to me, and he said, I'd like to go home. He said, my dad is a noted doctor there, just north of Chicago, and they kicked me out. And he said, I want to go home. I said to him, listen, get on the telephone and I'll stand by you. And ask your dad, can I come home? There's a change in my life. That's what God can do. Now, man is trying to do it by baptism or communion, by church membership and all this, but it's not working. We need a new beginning, and that new beginning is performed by God in the heart and in the life. Isn't that wonderful? God has to be involved, though. You can join a church, join any church. You can join whatever you want to do. You can be baptized. Like a lady said, I've been baptized 5 times. You can go through all of that business. It's not going to work because God is the only one that can make you anew and change you on the inside. On the inside. And it's thrilling. One of the thrillings, of course, of being an evangelist and traveling is to see it. For instance, in southern Illinois, a dear lady came with tears in her eyes and said, would you pray for my husband? We're filing for a divorce. She said, I can't stand the beating. I don't want my kids around him. I said, yes, we can pray. We can pray. And we prayed, and that dear lady accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, her Savior, and went out with a smile on her face. And I said, I'll pray for her husband. I'll pray. And so the next day, it's true, that dear lady called her attorney and said to her attorney, call off the divorce. Call it off. There's a different man in my house. And he came to the service and he said to me, preacher, I can't understand it. I've been a drunk. I've been very wicked, but I can't understand it. Because God made him anew. And I said, dear friend, in this church and every church, that's what we've got to see again. We've got to see God working in that new beginning. Not just come forward. Not just make a simple decision and write it on a piece of paper. No, God, as he was involved in creation, as he was involved in your beginning, he wants to be involved in the new beginning of being born again. And that's more than words. It's the truth. My granddaughter called me and said, Dad, would you pray for my dad? Would you pray for him? I said, sure, I'll pray for him. I was out in Sellersville, Pennsylvania, in meetings. Went and called on this dear man. He works for the power company. He would do anything in the world for you. But he would not come to church. He would not listen. And a little granddaughter asked me, would you pray for my grandpa? Yes, I prayed for him. I prayed for him. And finally, oh, he didn't come to church. He developed a terrible, terrible disease in his body. When they had to call the doctor, they had to admit him to the hospital. He didn't like preachers. But the preacher stood beside his bed and said, sir, don't you think it's time that you let God do something for you? And in answer to her granddaughter's prayer, he received the Lord Jesus as his Savior and was born again and had to be transferred from Sellersville down to Pittsburgh to another hospital. And down there they said, we can't do a thing for you whatsoever. We can't help you. But he came home and they said, you'll have to call somebody from the school of blind, from the school to help you. And so he called. He said, I want to talk to the nurses in the hospital. I want to talk to them. And my granddaughter said, why? He said, I want to tell them that I've been saved. A change in a new beginning. Not just words, with action and so on. And oh, how true it is. Everybody needs a new beginning. Now, I don't know what the time clock says, but over in Genesis, it says, in the beginning, God, in creation, your beginning, the beginning in the new birth. Now, why is it so important that you have a new beginning? Why? It's so important because if you turn in your Bible, still in the book of Genesis, and you read there about Joseph. Joseph was sold by his brothers. He became, as it were, a slave in Egypt. But Joseph had a great testimony. A great testimony. The Pharaoh's wife wanted to have a relationship with him, and he ran. But his brothers finally came to him. And you can read about it in Genesis, the last chapter. And they came to him, and the brothers thought that now that Joseph had reached that place of authority, that he was going to get even. And Joseph said, no, I'm not going to get even. I'm not going to get even with you whatsoever. But I want you to know something. I want you to know something. And in the last chapter of the book of Genesis, Joseph said to his brothers, I die, and God will surely visit you. I'm not going to get even. You're going to die. You're going to die. And God is going to visit you. Verse number 25, God will surely visit you. And Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and they put him in a coffin. And he said to his brothers, God is going to visit you. Why did he say that? He said that because God was involved in their birth. And so they were going to have to someday stand before God and give an account of him. And they laid him in a coffin. In a coffin. And the testimony that came out from that coffin was the fact, God is the creator. God is the maker. And God is going to require of you and of me an answer. That's why we need to be born again by the Spirit of God. I had a funeral director that was a member of a church where I pastored. And he had a room for visitors, but most visitors that we had, even evangelists, didn't like to stay there because it was in a room next to the dead. But I'd go down there every now and then, and I'd get a private tour. He'd take me around and show me all the fancy coffins. Fancy. The pillows. The needlework. The needlework. And it's great. I said to him, why do they need a cushion? Why do they need it? They're dead. They're dead. And then they have a little place there in some where when they close the lid, the person there can reach up and get a hold of that cord and open the lid. I said, but they're dead. But they're dead. But they're dead. Yes, but he said loved ones want to make sure And I say to your folk this morning as I close, the day is going to come when you, when I, is going to be placed in a coffin. It's going to be all over. We don't like to think about it, do we? My dear wife, married for 64 years, traveled with me everywhere in the States and many, many foreign countries that I worked with missionaries. She traveled with me. But she came home from a meeting, got in the house there next to the sanctuary, and fell and broke her hip. I naturally went to the doctor and all this business. And a lady came in while we were home to help her. And we sat on the Davenport together. And I held her hand. And she went to sleep. And I called the doctor. I said, "Doctor, my dear wife has gone to sleep." He said, "Don't worry about it. She'll wake up. She'll wake up." She tried to talk to me by moving her finger and moving her cheek and so on. But at 4 o'clock in the morning, it's true, I called the doctor again. And I said, "Listen, she's still sleeping." He said, "Don't worry about it. She'll wake up." And she did. She woke up in heaven. In heaven. And I've said, "You can't do this to me." They placed her body in a coffin. And I looked down at that dear lady, been married 64 years, did everything for me. But she's gone. But she wanted to go to heaven. See, that's why we need to understand creation. That's why we need to understand your beginning and my beginning. That God is there. And God is going to ask of every person an accounting. And so he gave his son to die on the cross that we might accept him and we might become a child of God. And I ask you as I close, where is God? Where is God? Oh, for the unsaved that reject him, they'll open their eyes after death in hell and to be lost forever because they rejected God. For the saved, they'll open their eyes in heaven because God is there. And that's why I ask, as I close, how about you? We say we can never know. I was preaching at a church in Illinois, a Christian school, wonderful school, and they loaded up their young people with the driver, headed down Interstate 57, went to an athletic event. I don't remember whether they lost, won or lost, but on the way home, the driver made a left-hand turn on the freeway and a big tour bus smashed into them. All seven on that van were killed. It was over. I contacted the pastor and ask him about it, about those young people who were there. And they sent me a track, an interesting track about them, about the three boys from one family. And on this track, it tells how each one of those boys acknowledged that they were sinners and received the Lord Jesus as their Savior. So when they lined up the three coffins in the church for the service, it was a testimony of how God is involved. How about you? Do you know for sure today that you're saved? If there's any question of it whatsoever, why don't you accept him? Why don't you acknowledge the fact he's the creator and he loves you and Jesus died on the cross for you? Why don't you accept him this morning? If you are a Christian, what are you waiting for about serving him and being obedient to him? Give your life to him. Why? Because God is involved in everything that you do. And the day is going to come, as Joseph said to his brothers, God is going to visit you. That'll be the meeting, someplace, where we're going to give an account. If you're saved, praise God. If you're not saved, it's time now to get saved before it is too late. Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed.